I have no idea if this is audio is going to be useful at all, or if it's just going to be...
Welcome to the Cowbell Fever podcast. Now, normally on race day, I record a bunch of sound from Main Street and edit it down, well, somewhat, stitch it together into a podcast, and then release it anywhere from 1 week to 10 months after the race. Last year was 10 months, so I'm doing a little better this year. What's different this year, too, is that not so much that the podcast is late, because it is, but that we're actually not on Main Street. Instead, as you may or may not remember, we were walking around on wood chips and frozen ground and cable as skiers skied around and around and around the course. But it still has the look and feel of the podcast. Well, not so much the look, it's a podcast, but it's the feel of it, and even if we maybe had a little less to drink as the day went on. Thanks to everyone who chatted when I accosted them, and thanks and congrats to mystery skier Elena Sonnison, who talked about her third place finish. The podcast will open with a recording of the announcers calling the end of the women's and the men's elite fields, something I usually don't get to Hayward in time to partake in. And then we'll get into the usual reliving of the race course. We all agree that the Berkey did a terrific job given the conditions they had, that the lap race is far superior to having no race at all, and we also agreed that we don't want to ski the loop race anytime again soon. Also, apologies for some of the wind static. At some point, we'll go all professional and get one of those fancy microphones that muffles the wind. So anyway, thanks for listening and enjoy the show.
And here we go, coming into the finish, it's Jesse Diggins to the roars of the crowd in the first ever Berkey Berkey. It's going to be Jesse Diggins, the champion. Okay, here we go. This is Gus Schumacher coming into the win. Gus Schumacher is going to take it. Gus Schumacher, Berkey champion 2024.
Hey, I'm here with Jesse Diggins, the 2024 Slumberland American Birkebeiner champion. And Jesse, how does it feel to be out here today?
Oh, this was amazing. Thank you so much to everyone for all the cheering. You were incredible. You made this so fun. And this was so special to do. Only a couple days after my husband beat me to it.
So I heard something about a bet. You had a bet with your husband, Wade, is that right?
Yeah, we had a bet on time, and I lost. So now I have to cook him a really nice dinner.
So I'm here with Gus Schumacher, the 2024 Slumberland American Birkebeiner champion. Gus, how'd you feel out here in front of this crowd? It was crazy.
Yeah, I felt amazing. It's been so fun all week, like talking with people and getting the Berkey fever. And today was just the climax of that, and I had a great time out there.
Yeah, yes!
That was cool. You passed by Diggins. Like, it was right up on the left third fourth or something, coming down. It was really quiet out by the power lines, and coming down, it was just, I got past. Go Jesse, go Jesse, and then we get across now. And then, go Jesse, good job. And then I sort of rode them in through the stadium, so everyone was cheering for me. And the lead winner. Mostly me.
Purple dip, 40 Berkeys combined. Yeah. I'm only at 58 between the three of us. How'd you like the race today?
It was tough sledding. No rest out there.
Nope.
Yeah, but they pulled it off. It's just amazing to have a loop like this put together.
I said it felt like the Berkey out there.
So crowded. So much cheering. Felt like double O the whole way.
Seemed like Holman Colin to me the first lap. With those crowds just
and then the
for
crowd
Jesse.
Got really loud. I thought they were cheering for me, and I looked behind me, and Jesse was there.
It was awesome seeing Jesse and Florida come by. It was really cool.
Just flat, you know, and they gapped the field so much.
Oh, they had a huge lead.
I could have gone with 30K.
The race for third, way back.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was, wasn't it? Yeah. That lead pack.
They didn't catch me till Callahan.
Yeah, I was pretty impressed.
I'm amazed.
I was a little bit nervous about it, but they executed well.
expectations going in? What were you thinking you might see out there?
I thought it was going to be a group of 250 people for the entire time, but it spread out quick. And, you know, I don't, like, some people crashed, but it wasn't the course conditions that made them crash.
There were two guys that went in the woods. One of them smoked a tree. The second lap, then they had padding on the tree.
Jesse! Look at all that glitter.
There you go.
Did you race too?
Big day.
Oh,
yeah.
How are you doing? Medical director right here.
How did they go from the medical direction side? Is it harder, easier?
You know, I just turned my radio back on after a 4-hour gap. I'm concerned about this afternoon.
But they're not doing the elevator gap.
I know, but it's that twisted sister.
Oh, they have to do that?
Yep.
That's the one where I saw the guy shoot into the tree.
And there's not good extraction.
You see the guy in the trees? It's like, how'd this happen?
There was two of them. I saw one guy go and smoke the tree, and he was like, hugging
like, la, la, la,
on the first
la,
lap,
la,
and then somebody else.
Really?
Yeah, smoked as well.
No, I went up to Gatineau because, like, this is the only chance I'm going to have to do Gatineau. I never want to do that much travel and that much racing 6 days
she's
before Berkey.
She's out for, like, an L3.
Yeah, and now it's like...
It was good. You know, I just tried to stay upright. I mean, those icy corners were just spicy. First lap, seeing somebody hit a tree was just like, enough for me to be like, all right, I don't need to go that hard into the tree.
Oh, they did. They pulled off. This was amazing for the fact that you finish and walk down wood chips, there's mud. And
yeah, I mean, they did a great job.
Yeah.
Great job.
And
honestly, it was really fun. All three of us raced each other in college. Like, you know, you guys were at McAllister.
Yep.
Still did some of the races that we did. And I remember racing the Super Tours.
Probably like the best spectator one.
It was cool to race on some of the stuff we once raced on before.
Yeah.
We were talking about this last night, that like elevator shaft.
Yeah.
Back in the day, it was like 8 feet wide.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And you'd go down there and you felt like you're in the middle of the woods. Because you couldn't see anything because, you know, they hadn't cleared out.
Yep.
And it's not quite the same because there's not trees rushing by your side of your face.
Right.
But those are always fun trails. And then the other ones, the roller coaster and the wisecracker out in the woods somewhere. I've eaten shit on those hills. Whatever the new one here is, whatever, it's hard.
It was fun. It was cool. It's funny, I thought the course held up much better than I thought it would. Because on our final lap is what I thought the conditions would be for our first lap.
It is wild.
Yeah.
That's kind of what I thought we'd experience.
They got really lucky that I was 4 degrees last night.
He doesn't really like it.
It froze up. So last year you beat me in the Berkey, and then this year you decided that you weren't going to let me beat you in the Berkey.
I have a partial tendon tear, so I'm booting around, and I am cheer squad this year.
And booting around at this year's Berkey means walking way more than you should be?
Correct.
So as a spectator, so you watched all five laps, your sister's out there. What was the spectating like for this year's Berkey?
It was wild. For a while, I was in the section where there was two-way traffic. And so every time I ran to one side, the people would go by on the other side and was running back and forth, which was pretty cool, but kind of stressful. And then I moved to the elevator hill, and that was pretty fun because then I could jump around and be goofy, and people could see me, and that was kind of fun.
Yeah, people were suffering there.
Yes.
How did your sister do?
She did awesome. Really, really well. Stacy did better than either Marion's sister has ever done.
Wow.
Before.
Where did she finish?
I think 15.
Whoa.
Really?
Whoa. I'm not sure of the actual number. She and Britta were together.
How'd she get that fast?
Well, because I wasn't racing, she was really confident and she kicked ass like she always. She always had it in her. She just didn't think she could.
Oh, speaking of which, how was your race?
I think it was good. It was fun. I kind of liked the lapped course. I think actually.
No.
Jacob's saying
nobody likes the lapped course. That's hard.
Okay, I think it helped me push harder because I was less afraid of like just getting lost in the woods. Yeah, and it was like the whole course was covered with people. It was kind of cool. It was just like something different, so maybe different was good. It probably was my best Berkey race. I raced it from like start to finish, which is good. I think that's what you're supposed to do.
How would you compare it to regular Berkey?
It was definitely icier. Like I feel like we've gotten so spoiled because like the last 5 years have been like absolutely perfect snow every Berkey, but this was like it felt super fast. and the icy spots, like, they weren't really that bad. Although, like, I'm a total wuss, and going down elevator shaft, I always was like, whoa! Who was faster, you or Jesse?
Me or Diggins?
Yeah.
I think she beat me by like 30 seconds.
Are you talking about Diggins?
Yeah.
She got you by 3 minutes.
3 minutes?
Yeah. If she's getting faster, you're getting...
She wasn't really in Jesse mode until lap five.
No.
And then she was like, Jesse mode.
I finished like her. No. I just kind of collapsed and I made him take my skis off. So I saw her finish. I was going over the bridge and she went under the bridge. Yeah, there was a lot of guys this year. They lined us non-fist guys up and we got there. And like I was like four rows back, and then they brought the fist guys in, and then I was like eight rows back. It was like there was a lot of people, and I beat Andy Newell, beating old Olympians. Like,
I
will say though, I was pretty impressed what they were able to put on, and it does scare me in the future that I don't think Berkey's ever going to be. I mean, like if they can put it on this year, it's going to be tough not to put it on any other year. Like, we had 3 days above 50 this week. It hasn't been... You haven't been able to make snow here. Like, for the month.
Week.
Oh, yeah.
2017 would have been great if they had 10K of snow here.
Yeah, for sure. This year, I have to get stronger because I realized the difference between me and World Cup skiers is they have an upper body. I don't, so that's my goal this spring. I would like to win Voyager, but I also... You know, I don't really, I don't care that much. I don't know why I can't win that race. Like, I've gone in like 3 years as the fittest person and then just screwed things up. So it's a 50 mile, Ari's done it. It's a 50 mile race.
Oh, my race was an adventure.
Yeah.
Conditions look like they're just ideal. First, 1 kilometer, fast, furious, competing with everybody. And then someone stuck a pole right in the tip of my ski, and my ski split, delaminated.
Your ski delaminated?
Yep, the first probably 4 inches of the P-Tex peeled up, curled underneath me, and every time I put my ski down, it just stopped that ski. So I got on, I just kind of balanced on one ski, hold my way back to the start, and one of the directors of the race gave me his daughter's skis at the start line, and I started skiing again about 10 minutes later, and he handed it to me and said, guaranteed to be terrible skis.
Guaranteed to be terrible skis.
And he was honest. They were terrible skis, but it was a great day. Conditions were fantastic, and I had a great day. I mean, just went hard the whole time. And my goal was to not be the last person. And I caught a few folks out of the elite wave. So
you caught me.
Did
I? Slap, yeah.
Okay, yeah.
Someone goes, go swing. I'm like, what the hell is he doing back here?
Yep.
He's laughing me.
Did you get lapped by Diggins?
Right away.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I lost about 10 minutes doing that change. She was probably 10 minutes behind our start.
Yep,
I put my poles on. I took a couple pushes. And there were Diggins and one other gal was with her.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. They were skiing together, and they went right by me. They were going well.
You had good skis. Do you think you would have been able to stay with them? Or?
I think I would have been able to ski with them for probably most of the race had I had good skis, yeah.
But you were on bad skis.
I was not on skis that were ideal. I actually went down on one of the descents. The skis just went out from underneath me. No edges on them. So,
well, I guess for all the years to have that happen.
Exactly. This is the year. Doesn't count for much of anything.
Yeah.
Unless you win. I guess they give you $2,000 if you win it.
Yes.
But that wasn't going to happen anyway.
Yeah. But you have one of those purple bibs that you sort of get.
Exactly.
Special dispensation.
And I get an extra. It counts as a Berkey.
So yep. 24.
That was 26 today.
26.
Yeah.
Wow.
It was amazing. A minor miracle that it happened at all.
Yeah.
And, I mean, the way they did it, the atmosphere, the spectators, you couldn't beat it. And then the only thing about having spectators everywhere is you can't just slack off.
Yeah.
You know, it's like
there were like two foot out the power lines and then the back of the golf course, you could be like, all right, this is where I get to hock up a boogie and, you know, spit it on myself and look like a moron. And then, oh, I got to go and pretend to be happy.
Yep, you got to put your happy face on the whole 50 kilometers.
Well, Diggins, she looked happy when she came by me.
Yeah, she did. She actually, I think, cheered me on even, if I remember right. Yeah.
I said, go, Jesse, and she sort of gave a nod, and then, bye.
Yeah,
she's a good skier or something.
This is the first time I've actually broken anything at the Berkey.
That's pretty good for 26.
Right, that's kind of, you know, you do it 26 times, you're bound to have a few flops. And one out of 26 is...
I had a broken pole in 2011 at the start.
Okay. Those things are bound to happen when you put a few thousand people in a small space.
Yeah.
But
so your first Berkey was like 99, 98?
98 would have been my first one.
And that was a sloppy one. That was a half.
Yeah, it was.
2000's canceled. 2002 was a muddy, I heard.
Yep.
This is, I mean, if they can do this for these off years.
Yeah, there's no reason we'll have a canceled one again.
Yeah. Just keep tacking on more numbers on your bib.
Yeah, for sure.
So four more years, you're going to get the gold bib in the Elite Wave. That's pretty rare.
That is rare. You know, there's probably only a few of those. John Bauer would be the I don't know if he's gotten it yet, but he would be the one. And I think Peter Hansen had it as well. And then the Spirit of 35 is kind of the ultimate achievement here.
Yeah.
When you're one of those 35 people who have done it more than anyone else.
And if you can manage that in the Elite Wave, that'd be impressive.
That would be legendary, yeah.
Our husband said
he's
been doing this for 20 years, so it's a family thing.
It's a big family.
Going to Northern Wisconsin, in Duluth, we've been doing it for 20 years together.
Wow. It's like Christmas. It's our family holiday.
Jeff and I, and then it spread to the kids.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's like we can't stop it.
Yeah.
It's unstoppable.
Yeah.
It is.
So the kids did the Barney Berkey this year?
Yeah.
Well, they started.
They're adults.
Well, now they're all adults.
So now we're waiting the grandkids.
Now the grandkids are
the oldest grandkid's only five.
Oh, my God.
So he will be doing the Barney Berkey next year.
Excellent.
Yeah. Very generational.
Absolutely. And do you guys still ski for fun and such?
For fun, yeah.
There's snow.
Yeah.
They did it Thursday.
Yeah. Okay. Thursday, the open track, you said?
We did open track, yeah. Like six of us did. And then our son is doing the full Berkey today.
Oh, wow.
So he's coming on this, I think, third wave or something.
Oh, okay. So he does a 30K.
Yep. He couldn't get off of work in Minneapolis on Thursday, so he's like, I'm just going to do that
Okay.
Saturday.
All right.
And
nice.
All our kids started doing the Barney Berkey.
Yeah.
The junior Berkey.
That's lovely. So lovely. Yeah.
And they did such a good job on this year.
This was a tough year.
I know. I am so impressed how they were able to make it happen. And our youngest daughter goes to school in Arizona, so we flew her home for this weekend because she cannot miss it. She cannot miss it.
Okay, so we are a herd of cows, mostly from Northfield, Minnesota.
Yep.
We've been doing this, at least 12 years now?
At least, I'd say. It started with my sister, who is a downhill skier, who had an old Halloween costume, and she came to cheer me at the race, and she said, everybody brings cowbells, and nobody brings cows. And so she wore the Halloween costume, and everybody thought it was amazing, and cheered for her. And so then she convinced the rest of my family to start dressing up as cows. And so I think, we had like 8 or 9 cows here today?
Yeah.
And ranging from 18 months old and 3 years old and 7 and 9 years old all the way up to grandma and grandpa in their 70s.
Now, is it cow cheers, cow spectators, or cow spectators, cow skiers, or both?
Just cow spectators. Okay. So there's a lot of good cow puns you can throw out to tell people to keep moving, and they look utterly fantastic. So it's a thing. Yeah, we've we've cheered all across the country in New York City Marathon and Chicago Marathon and Grandma's Marathon.
Yeah,
for
we're
running.
Almost always at Grandma's and almost always at Twin Cities Marathon as well.
Nice. So. As a spectator, how did this year's race compare to the normal event?
Oh, I think logistically it was way easier. Obviously, with the warm weather, it's nice to be outside the whole day too. And just having the skiers go by the same point multiple times makes it a lot easier to cheer without needing to move around, without needing to hop in cars and buses and stuff like that. So,
where do you usually cheer from?
Usually the cows are at Double O.
Yeah.
And then sometimes they're able to make a stop at Mosquito Brook. And then
the herd is driven.
But there's always like a big logistical meeting the night before the race on like, all right, we've got like four different people at our cabin that are going to be skiing. And so who's going to be where, at what pace, starting at which wave, and trying to time so that you can catch different people. And
but
sometimes...
A lot of the cows here are usually racing all in the same day.
Some of us raced earlier this week or we're racing tomorrow, so we could be out cheering today. So that was...
Now, do the cow suits get shared between different people based on who's racing which day?
Yeah, so some of the people who race today are going to be back out in the suits tomorrow cheering for us classic racers. And
a lot of the cow suits are even homemade.
Now, how are you feeling about the classic race tomorrow?
We'll see. I think I've made the decision to double pull it. So we'll see how long I can hang in the group and hope that it's fast conditions.
Yeah, early on might be okay.
Yeah.
And then it's...
see how quickly it warms up. See
watch
how much
that
the trail
last downhill.
Out.
Don't go into the trees.
Yeah.
Ridge Rider Brewery is the official beer again in 2024. We're excited to be here for sure. Beer has been flying. I think there's more beer sold this year than ever before. It's our fourth year of sponsoring the event, and I think the Berkeys, I think everybody's having a good time this year. Let's put it that way. They've done an awesome job. This team of the Berkey squad is amazing. That there's no snow anywhere except for that ribbon that goes through the woods, and people are rocking it. It's great.
Best-selling beer today.
The Tap Shack Caribbean-style lager has been number one. Okay. Poke and Honey Bock has been number two.
And those are sold out?
Sold out.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you'd known ahead, would you have brought more beer down?
We would have done differently, but yeah, we were... we've been backfilling for 3 days, honestly.
Wow.
Yeah, we brought beer in on Wednesday. They almost sold out of everything we brought by Thursday, so we've been backfilling Friday, Saturday, and then we'll be back again tomorrow with another.
I saw someone in the Elite Wave, not necessarily in the front of the Elite Wave, who stopped, and it looked like they took a beer feed. So is that something that you were sanctioning, or was that just someone came in here, grabbed a beer, and
I know nothing about beer feeds on the trail.
I feel like, since this doesn't really count for anything, we probably should have made, everyone in the Elite Wave take a beer every lap.
Right.
That could have been the money. You can ski the regular race, but the prize money is for, the beer chase.
Just like college, we had the beerathlon back in the day. Yep. We'd be doing that in the springtime after the sanctioned racing, then we'd do that.
Yeah.
Michigan Tech used to do pretty
beer
well
chase.
Over it. Yeah, they're good at that. Yeah.
Well, they don't have much to do up there other than ski and drink beer.
Well, Northern Michigan was another team that was in on that. University of Minnesota Duluth, where I skied. Yeah, I think, Tech was really good at it. Yeah, I'll say that. Yeah, you're right.
Did your kids have a good Barney Berkey?
They liked it, even though it was a running race this year. They were disappointed.
It was a running race.
Yeah, they did a little run.
Up and down Main Street.
Yeah. Oh.
They're the only ones who got to go up and down Main Street. So.
True, they did get the Main Street advantage. Yeah.
So how does the atmosphere here compare to your usual digs on Main Street?
It's it's a different energy. It's really a cohesive village-type feeling, I'd say. It's kind of nice to have all skiers, but it's also, I think we miss the general public that's also watching on a normal year. I don't know. For us, we're having fun no matter what.
Yeah, tell me about the open track.
Yeah. So had a great time. Beautiful weather. Happy to have snow.
Yep.
No snow anywhere else. So absolutely loved it. People came out cheering like crazy.
So it was like there were people on course like today?
There was.
Yeah.
Yep. Just like today.
Nice.
It was fantastic.
And were you out before it got warm and slushy?
I was not. I tried to get here before 9, but didn't quite make it. Started at like 10:30. So it was each lap getting a little warmer, a little slushier, but got to shuttle later, got to ski in t-shirt. So got some friends out skiing today.
Nice.
Yep. It was fantastic. I mean, without the man-made stuff, we wouldn't be having a race at all. Yeah. So, yeah, I came up to Cable about every other weekend and tried to get in a couple hours, and that was it. So, a lot of biking and swimming this year, a little less skiing.
And then when you have something as small of an area as this inside the town of Cable,
yeah,
having this influx of people, it just drastically changes. We don't have the resources really to handle this. And we bring in people from Sawyer County Sheriff's, all the local PDs, just to try to support it, just to keep traffic flowing and the safety. Anytime you put this many people in one spot, yeah, you got to just prepare for bad things. That's what most people, you know, we get a question all the time. People come up and say, you know, the skiers and stuff, this aren't really a rowdy bunch. You know, what do you, why is there such a heavy cop presence? And, well, first of all, it's not a super heavy cop presence. If you compare law enforcement to how many people are here, it's really not that many of us. But really, it's not that we're here for worried about what the people here are going to do. It's the worry that somebody who's out there trying wants to do harm to the people that are here and take advantage of all this many people in a small area. That's why we're here, to prepare for the absolute worst and hope everything goes good and be here to contain whatever happens.
And if something goes wrong, even that's not nefarious, crowd control, things like that.
Well, absolutely. And it's just something as simple as the traffic. I mean, yeah, somebody could drive through the ski trail and hit a, you know, it's just something as simple as that.
Yeah.
But we're prepared, and that's why we start meeting, you know, in like October, November, to start planning for this every year.
And you must work closely with the medical folks, yep, the ambulance, with the Berkey office, and, yep, and really do a lot of meetings there.
Once a month, between medical and law enforcement and Berkey event coordinators, we meet. Starting, like I said, in October, November, December, we meet. We run tabletop exercises. We practice.
Well, thanks for all your help, and glad that we got a nice, easy day for you, and hopefully it stays that way.
Yep, absolutely.
Yeah, it was great. You know, I tried to stick with the with Jesse and Flora for a little bit up until the first sprint, and then I realized that I was not going to stay with them. So
yep.
I made it back to the other pack, the Chase pack, and you know, it was very tactical and windy out there. Yeah. So we, it was a big group that was working together. And then I kind of just like tried to conserve energy. I know that the Berkey is a long event, and yes, that it really comes down to that last like 5 to 10K. And so when it came down to 5 to 10K, that's where I started kind of putting in some moves and just went for it with like a K and a half to go.
Yeah, and you got out ahead of them and didn't have to super sprint at the end, or?
It was not a super sprint at the end, although we were kind of consumed by a bunch of the elite men, like catching us, going by us, and then we were catching other men that were on their other lap, and so it was very chaotic in the last kilometer, and I had no idea who was where, so I just kept putting my head down and went for it until I crossed that finish line.
And you did the World Cup last week?
Yes.
How'd that go? How was Minneapolis?
It was incredible. It was like that atmosphere, the energy, the environment. I mean, it was so cool to see people out here today too, but last weekend was just, it left me speechless, honestly. I mean, like, I grew up not far from Worth, a couple miles, and to see just that crowd and that enthusiasm and the passion for the sport, it was just, I know so many people who had an amazing time.
Yeah, and you train at SNS T2 yes, with Jesse, and yes, so, like, you know, that's been a dream. How many Berkeys have you done now?
This is my, well, my fifth skate. I've actually done a classic, because in 2021,
Oh, you did both,
I
right.
did both, but I was second
in the snowstorm.
In the snowstorm, yes, it was quite a snowstorm.
You're from Los Angeles.
Yes.
Not known for having a lot of snow.
True.
And you,
we
your
had
tenth...
opening day at our local ski area, February 9th.
Okay, which sort of better than here, but...
Yeah.
And this is your 10th year skiing the Berkey, or a Berkey event?
Yeah, something like that. Started, in fact, started with the 40th Berkey, so yeah.
What's it like to sort of train for skiing in Los Angeles?
Kind of like, well, like the elites do in the summer, except I don't train 3 or 4 hours a day, but it's dry land training year round. Rarely does weather interfere with going for a run or a bike ride. Mammoth has plenty of snow almost always, so I
sure
can get a 5-hour drive to get some, but I don't do that regularly. But 2-hour drive to local snow when they have it.
And that's a few weeks a year?
Highly variable, so yeah.
In Austria, I ran into people on a bus at Dole Mittenlauf, and then I ran into the Berkey. So how was your race today?
Bradley Wells and
Sarah Wells.
We're from Wauwatosa. We're racing tomorrow, the classic race.
Okay.
So
you're spectating today?
Yeah, we spectated the pro race, and then some of our friends have just been finishing, so yep, out here to cheer them in and take in the day.
So you did a lot of classic racing this year.
Dole Mittenlauf, we skated.
Okay.
Marche Longa, classic, of course.
Yeah, that's a big classic race.
Yeah. And then you switched from skate to classic just to do a completely classic Berkey. It's kind of an unusual opportunity to have a classic-only race with everybody else being classic-only.
No one skating in the tracks.
Nobody tearing up my tracks. Or
how was the Marcialonga?
Well, it was warm, but excellent. Yeah, it was a really fun race, skiing village to village through the valley along the Dolomites. And I think your favorite part was it skiing along at noon and all the bells start tolling up and down the valley. All the people come out of the villages, they're cheering the skiers along. And then, as you know, you get to the final climb and they put the clister on your skis and everybody marches up to basically the Cavalese Main Street,
yeah,
big party zone, and yeah, the crowds there are really fun too.
And that's a 70K ribbon of snow. How did the snow there compare with the snow here?
Oh, it really varied. You know, when you were in the shade, it was fast and icy, very treacherous kind of turns, but everybody was very patient and took their turn, and then you'd get out into the full sun. So we were getting farther down in the valley and hit the slow, sticky snow in spots. And then other spots, it was perfect. So it really varied as we worked our way through the day.
And you were with Lumi Experiences. How was the whole trip and experience to go with a guided tour and have that experience? I should say I had dinner in Lean's after the Dolomite Loft with these folks, which was a really nice time.
It was really a fantastic trip. Everything about it was just really handled very well. And we really had a wonderful time.
Yeah, Garrett Kuzi and his team do like a great job. So we really enjoyed, I think, not only the races you get to do, but the food, the guides are just super nice. They're all from the area, so you get kind of a deep background on some of the people and what's happening in the area. And it's a nice overall experience, like learning about where they're from and how their lives are. And they're taking really time away from their jobs to come be trip guides on these trips and waxing our skis and getting us to the next venue and taking us out on guided skis.
It was a really fun way to travel and ski and race and fit it all in together.
So you have one of the National Nordic Foundation supporter bibs on. I assume you were at the race last week.
I was.
And who's on your bib?
This is JC Schoonmaker. I live in Truckee, California. So JC's just down the road in Taos City.
Yep.
So got the JC bib.
Yeah, and how's the snow been out there this year?
We had a slow start, but after New Year's, lots of snowfall, so it was awesome.
Not quite last year, though.
Not like last year.
last year, there were a lot of times you couldn't ski because it was just too much.
But I had a great time here at the Berkey. This is my 40th.
Wow, okay.
So
40 in a row?
40 in a row. I did two Cor Lopez before that.
So what was your first year?
Cor Lopez in 1981. I skied twice a year at the Berkey. And the day before the Berkey.
Yeah. And so are you in one of the Spirit of 35 yet?
Nah, I'm about like just over 100th place on the seniority list.
Wow.
You know, I move up a dozen spots every year.
Yeah.
So there's no more. I'm 15. I've done every Berkey binder since I've been old enough to do it. You have to be 18.
Right.
If there's no more canceled, I'll be, 69 when I do my 50th.
Wow.
I'm still doing well.
It seems like with this, there's not going to be any more cancellations. There goes someone in shorts.
Oh, that's true.
Wow.
In fact, my first Cor Lopez, 1981, that was the year we called the Bikini Berkey.
Yeah.
Where they just did elites only up and down the downhill ski area.
Yep.
And like Bill Koch, who just won a silver in the Olympics.
Yep.
Dropped out due to heat exhaustion. And there's like no snow all winter. Then they did the race to the rest of us 2 weeks later, and it had like one snowfall.
Right.
So we could ski.
Sort of like this year, we just haven't had that snowfall yet.
Yeah.
But how would you compare this to Hayward Finish Main Street?
It's definitely if you can do that, that's what you do.
Yep.
This is awesome.
I mean,
the spectators here today.
It's amazing.
It was cool, and I could spectate more. I could see all the elite people. And yeah, I raced out of Wave 2 this morning.
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
So I got to see the elites go. Then I got to see my nephews going right now.
Yeah.
Race back to the finish to see him finish.
Oh, yeah.
But we're able to go out there and see him twice per lap.
Yeah. So you did a couple of the races that went north from Hayward to Cable.
Yeah, my first Cor Lopez in 81, we started here. And then the next year they switched and started Hayward.
Hayward to 00.
Hayward to 00 for my car a little bit. Then the next several years after that, you know, I did Hayward to Telmark for the Berkey.
Yeah, and what were the Northbound Berkeys like?
You know, I remember one of them, it was just like, it's kind of conditions like today, but there's like rock hard trail. This would be before skating.
Sure.
And we're going down Pitch Hill.
Yeah.
And I remember
10K
like,
in, so it's probably pretty packed. Yeah,
packed. People would wipe out at the bottom, and then they'd like stand up, not look behind them, kind of step over into the track, and somebody else is in a tuck just going down, and it's like, contact, you know, poles breaking, people get impact going flying through the woods.
Yeah. What were you? You were also in the sort of the switch from class. How many did you do? Do you do classic skate? When did you make that switch? What was that like?
Yeah, I can't remember what did. I mean, it seemed like there was one year where just like everybody switched. I can't remember. That was like 85, 86. I can't remember. Got equipment back then. It was crap. You know, I was a poor college student. I took my, you know, poles are longer. I took some wood dowels. took the handle off, stuck the wood dowel in there. Got another pole section for broken pole. You know, glued that on, put this handle back on and skied do-it-yourself lengthened poles.
Yeah.
And then, you know, there wasn't skating skis back then. My skis had delaminated because they weren't built for skating. And I glued them, epoxied them, the bases back together twice that year. And then I finished 185th with do-it-yourself lengthened poles and skis that were glued together in my bedroom. Yeah, back then I was like, you know, really into skiing and stuff, but I was like the only skier in the family, and then my dad and the rest of the family started skiing just to, you know, my dad to hang out with his son, and then, so now we've got like the whole family are skiers now, and we come up here, but yeah, lots of, you know, memories with the family. My, you know, dad used to, after his cardiologist told him he had to stop doing the Berkey, he'd be out at the end of Lake Hayward, you know, cheering me on at the end, and then after he passed, my family would bring my mom to the finish, and she'd be there. And then, after that, my wife Judy had skied some, and then during her battle of cancer, she did Prince Hogan. So, a lot of good memories.
Yeah. Thanks again to everyone who dropped by the podcast to talk. It's always fun to talk to people for whom this is a generational event. With 18 down, I still feel a little bit like a newbie talking to some people who have skied every Berkey since the 80s, brought up their families skiing, and in some cases ski with the memories of others. I'm glad to have the opportunity to continue talking about the Berkey and skiing the Berkey, and we'll try to record some more podcasts this fall. One of our interviewees talked about their experience with Lumi Experiences. And if you want more information, you can go to lumiexperiences.com and check out all the trips there. I ran into a Lumi group in Linz at the Dolomitenlauf, which is the Austrian Worldloper race, for those of you who aren't up on like every Worldloper race, and had dinner with the group at their hotel. When you go on a guided trip like this, you have local guides who know how to ski the trails. They know the language, they know the culture. You don't have to worry about things like bus schedules and train timetables and which platform the train is going to come on, or are my skis going to fit on it, and am I going to pick the right hotel or even a good hotel. They make it easier than the DIY race that I put together. Garrett has done a ton of work to put together these trips, and it really shows. Plus, if you want to see some real snowmaking, their next stop at the Marcialonga has 70K of snowmaking down to a science. I think the Italian army is involved. If you're thinking about skiing a World Open race in Europe, Lumi is a great way to go. Go to lumiexperiences.com and use code COWBELL so they know you heard about it on the podcast. That's lumiexperiences.com, code COWBELL. You may also notice that I'm not using the usual outro music here, and my apologies to Catherine for that. What happened is, on Sunday, as the classic skiers were making their laps, we were invited to take part in the drumming corps, which this year was about a kilometer into the race on the climb out of the stadium. Most years, the drumming crew has a short duty. The first skiers start around 8 a.m. and the last waves pass through around 10:30. This year, the drummers were on duty for the whole of the race for 2 days. With skiers passing through from dawn to dusk on Saturday, they were happy to have some help to keep the beat going on Sunday. So we had the chance to drum for and cheer for the classic skiers as they made their way around the course. The drumming corps is open to really anyone who wants to show up. And if you want to find out more about that, you can listen back to episode 6 of this very podcast. And it's a while back, we're over 60 now. And you'll hear from Gary Crandall about the drumming and some other stuff. Or, you know, you could just show up at the end of the power lines on Berkey Day, if for some reason you're not skiing. So that's it for the podcast, and hopefully we will come back later this summer or this fall with more exciting podcasts about the Berkey.